So what you got, and then you had those Souchard. Remember those Twilight ones that were sort of gold box that were like mint, crispy mint things? They were like
Oh,
matchmakers, but
look, oh, hang on, there's a new episode of the programme starting.
What programme?
The Box of Chocolates. Box of Delights.
Oh, right. Well, and I'm Chris.
And I'm Craig.
I'm Jack.
And here we are. It's Christmas!
Yay!
It's Christmas
week!
It's
Christmas time.
It's Christmas week.
So this is the third part of our series looking at episodes 5 and 6.
And we've already recorded two parts looking at parts 1 to 4 of 6 parts, and this is the third part of 3.
In which we're looking at 2 episodes.
In Christmas week for 2 episodes, and this is the 5th episode of 6.
Merry Christmas.
And therefore, this is the penultimate hearing of Henry Healy's music.
Henry Healy's music. We just write this and then fry a sausage.
Exactly. And this is, however, the last time that we'll talk about it, even though it's the penultimate episode.
Yeah, and the end of last week's would have been the anti-penultimate episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, here we are.
Yesterday.
So, Craig, in your capacity as resident poetry expert.
Yes, my boy.
While shepherds wash their socks at night, how would you finish that? What was customary? While shepherds wash their socks at night, come on.
I don't know.
All seated on the ground.
Oh, right.
The angel
this
of the
is
Lord.
What I was
the angel of the Lord came down and gave them all a pound.
Really? No. While shepherds
is that
wash
not
their
porridge
socks
or something?
I don't think so.
While shepherds wash their socks at night while watching ITV,
all right,
the angel of the Lord came down and switched it to BBC.
Oi, cheers.
Didn't have BBC at school.
The herald angel sang, Beecham's pills are just the thing. They are meek, very mild, one for an adult, two for a child. If you want to go to heaven, you must take a box of 7. If you want to go to hell, eat the bloody box as well.
Yay!
That's good.
And you've got a box in at the end of it.
Ahoy!
We three kings of Orient are.
One in a taxi, one in a car, one in a scooter, blowing
his
hooter, following yonder star.
No, following Ringo Starr.
Oh, there you go. Well, peace and love.
Did this not happen in your world?
As a committed Christian, I don't make mock of the Lord's time of year.
Jingle bells, Batman smells, Robin laid an egg. The Batman Beals lost his wheel and the Joker got away. Hey!
I think God is big enough and ugly enough to put up with a little bit of light.
God is beautiful and he's love and he loves even you.
Okay.
And your goose. And your giant brother.
Nobody's going to fucking argue with his giant brother.
No, that's true.
Just stick his head on. Probably looking him in the eye right now.
What is happening in the Box of Delights?
I don't know. I'm just mad with the Christmas.
Mm.
There's diabetic Joe.
It's time for a customary.
Do
how brilliant is
Robert
Stevenson?
Christmas carols. Is those ones which seem to have two separate tunes, like the Holly and the Ivy. Like some people sing it one way and some people sing it the other way.
Do they?
Well, that's because different people do arrangements of them.
It just fucking annoys me.
Oh, I like it. I love a Christmas carol.
No, I like Christmas carol. I don't want different
now
arrangements.
Now, here's
of
the
it.
Thing, because everyone now talks about the service of 9 carols and all that.
Those fucking.
Yeah, but it's actually.
They give your dad the pip, don't they?
Well, no, that's the King's Singers. Yeah. My dad, the King's Singers.
The purple
my
pip.
Dad gets the pip for the King's Singers. No, the but the service of 9 carols and all that. Well, we'll come back to that. But my point about that is that actually it's not that good. If, as I often am, on Christmas Eve, I'm cooking in the kitchen, you want to have the classic FM on, because they don't fuck about with all the liturgy. They just go straight from one song to another.
Now, is this an urban myth about Henry Kelly on classic FM? Supposedly.
Oh, a bit of
now it's time for a bit of Beethoven. Sorry, that must
I can't imagine that being true.
Well, Henry Kelly.
Right. Cut the tie off.
Yes. Now that TV cream, that's a gazetteer.
Is he from the West Country?
With your man Jack Kibble.
Anyway, so yeah, the old service from King's College, Canterbury, King's College, Cambridge. It's very nice. Mm. What do they always begin with?
Oh, I've no idea. I don't know.
3 o'clock, Christmas Eve, a single male chorister singing. Once in Royal David City.
Better than that, presumably.
Actually, you'd be surprised.
That's pretty good.
Christmas Day. I can't remember what year it was. Now, before we cross over, we're going to go to Paul Daniels with carols at Buckfast Abbey. An actual programme on actual BBC Christmas Day.
What did we make of
Buckfast?
The...
Don't say shit, say donkey do. Will you have a puppy after the show?
What do we think of Christmas lectures?
Well, they used to be on Easter, didn't they?
Pretty much. And World's Strongest Man?
Oh,
that, yeah.
Well, that was Easter, though, wasn't
it? We used to have a special interest in the World's Strongest Man, Al, which was in my secondary school, mm-hmm. by then, this time, mm-hmm. private preparatory schools were way, way in the past. Mm. It was our school in the south side of Glasgow. And in a couple of my classes were the estimable Edmunds kids, Rothney and Greg. And their dad, Frank, mm-hmm. was the judge, was the referee.
Wow.
Big Frank Edmunds. So we used to watch The World's Strongest Man. Uh-huh. And they would, you know, John mm-hmm. Bok Sigmerson and people lifting fucking canal barges and throwing them about. And in the back was always this enormous guy with a big black beard who would be saying, I fucking stop that. That was Frank.
Wow.
Greg and Rothney's dad. If you're listening to this at all, get in touch, Gregor.
I remember
that was a hell of a guy.
That was fucking great.
And who is it that Jeff Capes had his rivalry with?
Look,
was it the big Norwegian guy?
What was he called?
Was that not John Paul Sigmundsson? Mm. He was from Iceland.
Was it?
And I remember him when he beat Jeff Capes 1 year, and he said, "The king has lost his crown." I was like, "He did."
We don't really mind him. We have a budget.
Yeah, Jeff is away with his budget.
Great guy, Jeff Capes.
There's a great bit in the. There's an entry in the Kenneth Williams diaries where they're at an equity council and they're trying to motion to rule out Jeff Capes from doing panto, and Kenneth Williams makes sure it goes through. He must be allowed to do panto. Oh, we need splendid men like this
absolutely,
doing
that.
Absolutely. What was the basis for him not doing panto?
Because he wasn't an actor.
He wasn't a
performer or anything.
Not a performer.
What about panto then, eh?
So I've never really.
Some of us won 5 years ago or something. Yeah. 6 years
really?
Ago. Never the first panto I saw was the last one Gerard Kelly was in.
Wow.
Oh, Gerard Kelly.
Correlation.
And I have to say.
Correlation?
What do you mean?
What?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I didn't do anything to him. He died about 8 months later or so.
Bye, ya, pals.
Absolutely. I have to say, what a master at the stage.
I saw
the minute he came out, you thought, bang, he knows what
I saw doing. His first panto. Which was the year after, it was him and Walter Carr, the year after Ricky Fulton retired. Because the year before had been Ricky Fulton of Scotch and Rye fame, who was a genuine genius. Mm. And Walter Carr was an old Scottish comedy actor who used to do a lot of panto with.
He's in The Wicker Man.
He's in The Wicker Man, yes, and he's in The Vital Spark and so forth.
It's terrible.
What? The Wicker Man? I know, I like The Wicker Man.
Wicker Man's a fantastic film.
It's an enjoyable musical comedy. It's not a good horror film.
Well, I didn't say it was a horror film. I just like The Wicker Man. Except this final reel is a perfect final reel.
I was simply codifying my earlier remarks. But I agree, the ending is extraordinary.
Yeah, it's incredible.
But it doesn't have much to do with the rest of the film I've heard of it.
I don't know.
I love Wicker Man.
Yeah, I love it as well.
It's lazy thinking to like The Wicker Man.
Just as well you're here to put us right.
Really?
In proper horror circles.
You're a proper, because he's a proper horror fan.
Yeah.
Proper horror fan.
I'm just a proper cunt. I'm
a Bob Buckham. What's its fun?
Yeah, with the maze-based snacks.
I think that's obvious. No, so Gerard Kelly did it with the panel work on. And it wasn't very good, because it was his first year, and he was a bit unsure. But he became a master of the genre.
Yeah.
But didn't, I have to say, but this is no criticism, because nobody could reach the heights that Ricky Fulton hit, which were just spectacular.
Didn't it cranky had a fucking go and then fell off?
They're great in panto.
Yeah.
We've seen them a couple of times now.
With the John Barrowmans.
Yeah, well, we're not so keen on the Barrowmans.
Well, this year
anymore.
We've seen them with...
With the Hoff.
Absolutely.
He's changed his name now, so he's just David Hoff.
Is he?
Yeah.
No way.
Apparently, somebody took
Hoff in that case.
You can
I remember, I've seen a lot of pantos in my time, because we just, you know, that's what we did, the thing that a lot of people do, or did then, because they weren't criminally expensive, is that we would go and see a few pantomimes every year. So we would, like, we'd go with my gran to one.
Yeah.
We would go with, you know, the school or whatever to one. The school outings tended to be more like the Pavilion, because we might want to mark a bit cheaper.
Well, you know, even sort of the other theatres in Glasgow, I won't name them, but even their panto kings, and of an afternoon at the height of the panto season, it's a fucking That's a rough crowd.
Is it?
Oh, aye.
Oh,
aye.
Oh, aye. Yeah. Well, you've got a lot of shouting at weans. A lot
of
swearing.
Yeah, you've got to be...
A lot of wee nips are getting
hard. How they manage it on the stage, I've no idea. But anyway.
Do you enjoy the audience participation?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, it's absolutely. In fact, I shall tell you.
Do not like that.
Well, see, I always had my sort of East Coast reserve about this, but I must now, as a sort of adopted Glaswegian, that actually it is.
Bring
it's
down
great
the
fun.
Clute.
Bring down the clute.
Which is the big song sheet at the end. We used to. One of the best Panthers ever saw. And now we're in Egypt.
Yeah.
Stanley Baxter. Who I think it was Mother Goose at the King's, and it was interesting because it was such a big production. It was on 1 year at the Edinburgh Playhouse, or the King's in Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. Then the next year it was in the King's in Glasgow because it was too expensive just to use once. And then you used to do at the end of it his Parley Am of Glasgow bit, which was always very funny. And the song at the end was a Parley Am of Glasgow song. Uh-huh. So this would have been Christmas 84. So I saw it once and I still remember the song.
Go on in.
Which was
Quinn Cody of Nineveh.
No, this is the difference between you and me. So it's difficult because the joke was that it was written in phonetically.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But the song was Giza Para Bara Fara Mara, Giza Bara Chocolate Fara Wayne, Giza Tonna Fags, Have You Zonny Totty Bags. To put my totties into, I get hame. Plirrit, which was PLRRT, plirrit on the slate, I'll pay yous after, I'm off to see your panty mime. And if you can say Ramora or the best you'd anybody, you can parlay my Glasgow all the time.
Well done. Like, no, you've got no idea what you just said,
no,
have
you? I've got no idea what you said.
But it doesn't matter, because you don't care.
Did they have pantos at Hereford Cathedral?
Oh, do you know what they might have?
On the top of Salisbury Tor.
Do you know what they might have?
Julian Assange?
We didn't go.
Where?
Where is he? He's the lead. Probably missed him. He's there.
All right, there you go. This is good. It's like he's going to warp drive now.
It's like a little computer game thing, isn't it? Almost. Herne the Hunter was sort of quite popular as a fictional character on TV, right? But I'm thinking of Robin the Sherwood.
Yeah, I was in Robin the Sherwood quite a lot.
Did we like Robin the Sherwood?
He was also in Three Up, Two Down.
My friend's sister used to like to sing the theme to Robin the Sherwood. And she would sing Robin, blah, blah, and she thought the words were the hoodie bar.
Now, I have to say, poetry fans, when they turn up here in the fight,
of which Craig is certainly one,
it's just the leader. Arnold of Toady, who has, and it's a bizarre thing where you can go back into time in the box, but you can't. The mystery and terror of the boxes, you can't come back out again.
How did they describe that going back in time? Do you think, given that they say flying is going swift,
tumbling in chronology or something?
Your clothes will clean themselves.
But he finds this, and he's telling this really great wee poem.
In future time and kind and conned,
as far away from Trebizond as Toady Weir, and this I ask and fain would know, will now be in a tear so.
I have no memory of this bit really.
It doesn't actually add up to anything, because he just says he's not coming back, because he says if you take the box and come back, everything will be fine because you'll fuck them all up. And he says, no, I'm not up for it.
Is that John Carpenter? Who, as we were talking about recently, has turned into it? Is it Lo Pan from Big Trouble in Little China? He's absolute spit.
John
Carpenter, isn't
your shithead. God, fuck off.
This bit sort of looks like a sketch from Playaway.
Brian
Kent.
Yeah, he'd
go past
in a box, in a cardboard box with a paper hat made out of fucking a newspaper.
I love Playaway.
Play
away, way.
What's not to like?
Play away, way. Play away.
Give me a
pee.
Well, the name Tony Arthur, that's what's
not. Yeah, so tell us about this.
Tell us about this problem I've got, Jack.
Jack was talking about this before we started recording all those weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, the gist of it is I find surnames that are Christian names annoying. And I also have an issue with female names that actually sound like male names. Go Tony Arthur.
Tony Arthur is Tony just a nightmare
Nexus
for you.
That's kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Have a hot
that's
banana.
A, that's a whole mashup of problems for me.
Fucking
Tony
weird,
Arthur.
Actually, yeah.
Mm. if he eats just nothing but bananas, cooked bananas.
And of course, Jeremy's Iron was in Play Away, wasn't he?
It was.
Yes, Jeremy's Iron.
What was the name of the man who played? It was Jonathan who played the piano. Jonathan.
Jonathan Seal.
No.
Jonathan Cohen.
Yeah, he was a great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what else?
He used to appear in the All-Star Record Breakers a lot.
That's right.
Yeah. He's great, Jonathan.
I think he's quite a substantial sort of arranger or something.
Yeah, no, he is. Well, he was a jazz pianist, and he did all the music for the inestimable, the fantastic album Bang a Drum.
Oh, really?
The Play School album.
It's a good disc.
I've got a copy.
I've got a copy of that.
Silly little.
He's a great wee guy, isn't he?
He is a great wee guy.
He's just trying his best. Why don't he just listen?
He's just trying to get a bit of narrative clarity onto what is frankly a collection of insane sketches.
But look at him.
Don't you think the banana undermines the drama in this, though?
He must be sweating like a glass blower's
ass. Who's the actor? Some set of eyes on him.
Yeah.
I don't want it.
It's Sir Robert Helpman.
What? One looking at you, the other one looking at you.
Need to go swift again.
Robert Heltman once offered to be in a country practice. No, Sons and Daughters.
Really?
Did he?
Sons and daughters, love and laughter, tears of sadness and happiness. Robert Heltman.
Is that Neighbours?
It's the Sullivans, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, Sullivans. Remember the dad used to do this?
And he grabbed the hat and ran up the street.
That proud little look at the beginning.
He looked like he'd be his wife.
He's not great, isn't he? Come on, hand.
No, Robert Heltman, who was Australian, of course. Loved Sons and Daughters and wanted to be in it.
Wow.
And wrote a storyliner and a character for himself and submitted it to the producers, whereby he would appear, but also appear as his sister. He would appear in both roles. And they said no.
What the fuck? What absolute maniac.
World famous ballet dancer Sir Robert Heltman.
The creepiest character in all children's cinema.
And no, I don't want, we don't want you. We've got Fatso the Wombat. That's a country band.
We've got fucking Stonefish. That was it.
That's
no one remembers anything that was in Sons and Daughters. Wasn't the woman that was also Mrs. Mac? No. Helen Robinson was also in Sons and Daughters, wasn't she?
Anne Hattie.
Why do you do that?
It was a bit like the Gran, you know, in the Waltons, when they didn't just let her retire. And
it was really unsettling when Helen Daniels died, wasn't it?
Oh, wasn't as unsettling as when she turned up before she died.
Yeah. What year was that?
Poor old Anne Hattie. I don't know.
Wow, that was.
And then Jim Robinson died of a heart attack and then turned up in Avengers.
He did, yeah. And lost.
I think by the time that had happened, I think I was editorial director of Faber and Faber.
You heard about your third anthology,
hadn't you? Yeah, I'd been asked to be the poet laurea. And I said,
you were working on cycle of poems about the Gulf War.
I was, yeah.
So he said, fuck yes.
Punch the air!
A sack of wine? Yes, please.
And a haunch of venison at Christmas. Yeah. From Windsor Great Park.
I said, look, if I'll do it.
Delivered on Christmas Day before 2 p.m.
Andrew Motion will never fucking forgive me if I don't give him a shot. Let Andrew Motion do it.
And that was the end of your Sons and Daughters watching.
It was, yeah.
End of Sons and Daughters. Tears of Sadness and Happiness.
Yeah,
here is this incredibly camp wee actor that plays the boy under the waterfall.
He looks a wee bit like Nick Kershaw, doesn't he?
Well, you know, a tree by
the riddle.
Wouldn't it be good to be in your shoes?
And he's actually very good at all this, but when he gets set free,
it's not Chris Sundin, is it?
It's just
Michael Sundin. I think I've asked that before.
You have.
You shall have it under your hand today.
I found his way up to a nose very creepy.
Dean Stockwell's a wee bit like as well. Stevens is like, are you all saying this? Is it just me?
Today! Oh, he's
so quite Tom Baker esque, isn't he?
He's so
good. Absolutely. Phenomenal. Have you not seen The Private Life of Sherlock Holmes?
Of winning.
No,
that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great film.
He plays Sherlock Holmes and Colin Blakely as.
Who's Watson?
Watson is fantastic. Yeah, it's a Billy Wilder film.
Is he Diamond wrote it, did he?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, it's a great film.
It was a massive flop and kind of ended his career. Sorry about that. It's a word for our own friend. Ended his career as a sort of film star, really, but it's a great movie.
It can make you go, and it can make you fly. Sorry, Swift. And it's full of wonders.
It's full of delights.
Diabetes Joe's going, has it got any cake in it? Get back to your waterfall!
That's not great, is it?
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's not great.
I thought that was quite good.
But I love all this. There's something that works so well about that sort of Edwardian office kind of thing, and they dressed as cute, you know, priests or curates, mm-hmm. and the sort of slightly spooky witchcraft going on at the same time. It's just great. It's really
dripping in atmosphere.
Yeah, it's really very, in the best way, very English.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
So what do we remember about the build up to Christmas then? Back in the day,
well, it happens every year, so I don't have to remember.
Yeah, but it matters more when you're a kid because it takes longer.
Yeah. Actually, I was thinking over the last week about, you know, something about films. It's related to what you're saying about films that you came across and whatnot at Christmas time. I'll tell you one that I loved. And I saw it when I was about 15 or 16, maybe about 14, 15 actually. When I think about it, but if I watched it now, I would have to say it's absolutely rotten. But I loved it when I saw it, which is the 70s version, I think made for telly, possibly by ITC, of Great Expectations with Michael York
and
Sarah Miles. And I can't even remember who plays...
Was that one of those versions, like the version they did, I think probably they did as well, of like the Count of Monte Cristo?
It was that kind of thing.
Where it always looked like they just turned up with a camera in a very empty, echoey room.
Aye.
And colours are very not washed out, but very stark.
Yeah.
And there's no atmosphere.
Oh, no, it's quite lush, this one. I'll tell you who plays Joe Gargery, is played by... because that was a David Frost thing, the Slipper in the Rose. Mm. Joe Gargery is played by... what's his name? Diplomatic Immunity. Joss Ackland.
Our pal Joss Ackland,
aye.
With a spunky backpack.
Oh. Craig's with Mrs. and I had a bit of a run-in with Joss Ackland a few years ago.
Really?
Yeah, he was incredibly rude and tetchy when we were trying to set up an interview. Mm. He was at the Pitlochry Theatre Festival. Mm-hmm. And
he's not still with us, is he?
Yeah.
No way.
But he just kept on shouting, "I can't hear you! I can't hear you!" And when I came on the line and spoke to him, he said, "Oh, I can hear you much better than that woman."
Wow. Yeah.
And it ended up we didn't do it. It was just so impossibly grumpy. Yeah. Wow. Crazy ass old bastard. Mm.
Another great Christmas thing involving him, of course, was he's in the video.
Oh, yes, of course.
For the 1987 Christmas number mm-hmm. one, which was?
The 1987 Christmas number one.
Yep.
Is it Shaky?
No. Pet Shop Boys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You were always on my mind. Mm-hmm. Because, of course. Mm. Not every Christmas number one's about Christmas.
No, mm-hmm. Well, most of them.
And that beat The Fairy Tale of New York to get to number one.
Yeah. Good.
And I would contend it's a better song.
Mm. No, I don't think you're wrong about that.
Really?
Yeah, but you're wrong.
So yeah, I know, but you're wrong.
What is the best Christmas record?
The best Christmas
in
record?
In your opinion?
Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You.
That is a good song.
It's the best Christmas
song. And all the more surprising for who it comes from.
Who does it come from? Hitler.
Mariah Carey. You don't expect to like a Mariah Carey song, but it's great.
No, she's great. It's a really great song. It's beautifully produced. I do love Fairy Tale in New York as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's good, but I don't think it's as good as
You
Were Always On My Mind. Which is the best cover version ever.
I just said, even though it was Christmas number one, it's not a Christmas song.
I know, but it's still Christmas number one.
No, but he said Christmas song.
Yeah, no, but it was Christmas number one.
Yeah.
The best song ever, of course, is a medley.
Because, Jack, why is that?
It's just the best bits. Well, the song.
No,
who needs an actual song when you can just have a medley?
So 88, I think, was...
And just have the best bits. Chorus after chorus after chorus.
That's why the best
Christmas
songs
medley.
Yep. There was one very famous medley, I think was a Christmas number one. Jive Bunny and the Master Mixers.
Yeah, I think so. That was about 1989, I'm going to guess.
That was almost like some people weren't really trying. Because the 1988 Christmas number one was...
The 1988
Christmas number one was...
I don't know. Mistletoe and Mine.
Christmas.
Yeah, that's a great number
one. That's okay.
It's a great Christmas
I like that
song.
However, I don't have any problem with Jive Bunny and the Master Mixers.
No, I
also think it's incredibly tiresome when people complain about things like Bob the Builder being a Christmas number one. Because obviously fucking 5 year olds at their Christmas parties are meant to dance to the fucking Blue Oyster Cult or something. Fuck off. Music is not just for you cunts.
Absolutely.
Anybody's allowed to buy it.
Yep.
You bunch of dicks.
Yep, I'll go along.
Cheers! Snowball!
But the 80s were good for Christmas number ones, wasn't it? Because you also had Last Christmas. Which only got to number one in its second.
Who was that?
Last Christmas.
Gave you my.
That was, that like was, fucking that, name that tune.
That was a minor key version of it.
Yeah.
Last Christmas by Wham.
Oh, right, okay.
The song called Last Christmas.
Which only got to number one the second time it was released. Wham. Why?
Oh,
Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Right. I like The Power of Love by Frankie Goes
to the Moon.
That's a great one. That's one of my favourites.
That was 1984 as well. Fantastic. Fantastic.
That's a great one.
From the Welcome to the Pleasure Dome album. Mm. And it had that brilliant video with that was the Wise Men.
Yeah, with the big guy.
The song has nothing to do. Over yeah, because yeah. The song has nothing to do with Christmas at all, does it?
No.
And they just thought, let's make a Christmas video. Whack it out there. Great. That's the power of love.
No, that's
don't
interesting because in the not too long a period were three number was, ones called
yeah.
The Power of
Jennifer
Love.
Rush.
Yeah.
Jennifer Rush and
yeah.
Frankie Goes to Hollywood and Huey Lewis and the News.
Did they all get to number one though?
I think they did.
I'm not sure they did, but they all got into the upper echelons.
Did Huey Lewis and
sure
the
who
News
did.
Not get to number one?
I think of them all. I would put
the other two
money,
did though.
I would put good money that only Jennifer Rush did.
No,
Frankie
got, I think they might have got knocked off. I think they got. I don't think
no, they
Christmas
did get to
number
no,
one.
I think they did get to number
I
one.
I think they might have got to number one, and then I think they were in at number one for a week.
But yeah, it was a very short
run. Because they'd gone straight in with Relax, and that was number one for
because
ages.
Because
Two Tribes went to number one.
I seem to
but
recall
their first three singles were Relax, Two Tribes,
uh-huh.
And then I think it was Power of Love. I think.
But there was remember the I'm sure that year there was a thing with the because the chart then used to come out on a Tuesday. And the way Christmas fell and the Tuesday fell, it was sort of it was there for like a few, you know, but it got in 1 week just before the behemoth took over.
I remember that.
But Jennifer certainly got to number
yeah.
one because she was number one for weeks.
Yeah. Mm. I think I got the Frankie Goes to Hollywood album for my Christmas in 1984.
We weren't allowed to listen. No.
And but here's the great thing:
stop
I
me being gay.
Only about 3 years later,
Al,
I remember hearing Bruce Springsteen playing Born to Run and thinking, oh, he's covering that that Frankie Goes to Hollywood song. I never thought they were very big in America.
Here's another weird thing. Remember there was the this is a wee bit, I hate to say off topic, Bruce Springsteen Tunnel of Love.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time there was the act called Big Daddy, not Easy Big Daddy, but there was
not
another
Shirley
guy
Crabtree.
Who did it. No, not Shirley Crabtree. An American singer who did a sort of slightly a cappella version of Tunnel of Love, which
oh,
was also hit at the same time.
Hey, that used to happen a lot back in the 60s and 50s. You'd have people like Jimmy Young had
the
Unchained
Melody.
Melody yeah.
But not of somebody
no,
who actually wrote the song
no,
and released
yeah.
it at the same time.
Of course, what song?
Oh, this is them now.
Which, sorry, there's a good one.
Sorry, we're back. All right, okay.
Which either 80s or 90s,
I was wanting to talk
I can't
about
which
this.
It was surprisingly written by Bruce Springsteen.
As in he wrote it
in
a fit of surprise.
He wrote it. It's a Bruce Springsteen song, but it was a hit for somebody else.
St. Winifred's School Choir.
No, it's Pink Cadillac.
Oh, there you go. Anyway, back at the actual Box of Delights. It's that episode
just finishing.
Jesus Christ.
Fucking hell, we've only got one more to go.
Ooh. Which would be
and
part...
then it's Christmas.
Part
yeah.
six.
Then it's Christmas.
And
of
Santa's
six.
Getting closer.
Six of six in part three.
Sylvia Daisy Pouncer.
Yeah. Mm. Sylvia Daisy Pouncer.
James it's even got poetry in her name.
What's interesting is that all of the young cast went on to do nothing.
Yeah.
Whereas
and all the old folk died.
No, they did lots of other good stuff.
Yeah, look,
Julian Sands and Angus.
And also, actually, also the director and the producer, I don't think particularly then had. So I think possibly the director, I think maybe did something like Midsummer Murders. I think that's.
Well, that's quite a big deal.
No, I know, but.
Midsummer Mortgages is known in the biz.
Yeah,
quite.
Midsummer Mortgages, yeah.
Bert's Postlethwaite.
Oh,
was it
Postlethwaite?
Oh.
Keith for
but Paul Stone, who was Paul Stone, who was once mooted to be taking over Doctor Who, don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, there's not very many.
But it's such a singularly fantastic production.
I tell you, program.
Why did these people make it, and then why didn't they go on to make something else?
Well, for some reason, it's too late to start asking questions about it.
I'm asking for your opinion.
For some reason, let's just leave that aside for a moment, because I just remembered another program that used to be on quite a lot, a kids program that was a sort of drama comedy thing that used to fill the kids that this kind of slot, which was Maid Marian and Her Merry Men.
Oh, that was great! Yeah.
Which had a great theme.
Danny John Jones.
Don't you care? Which was Tony Robbins.
It's kind of, I think, a bit of an influence on Horrible Histories.
I can see that.
It's got a kind of feel to it.
Never thought of that.
Did they ever do a Christmas special?
Well, they did. Well, it was just on. You know, they had a long series on every year, and they used to have Christmas specials.
Played Marian was brilliant.
What happened to her?
I don't know. I can't even remember who she is. The important point had Howard Lou Lewis in it.
Yeah. Howard Lou Lewis. Who was in? Come on, you'll be right this time. Come on, you can do this.
Call back.
You can do it.
Come on, Craig. Go on, son.
Carl Herman's in it.
Brush Yay! He played Elmo, the barman.
Of course, yeah.
We got there in the end.
Look, leave us not little.
Capital N little.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? It's like, leave us not sorrowful, nor yet dark.
Happy and dark.
Nor yet dawn.
I'm going to go and look at the book when I get home.
Yeah, that might be the chapter.
Which I've not managed to read these last 3 weeks.
Oh, it's when he wakes up.
Yeah. This looks like the beginning of a stage play, doesn't it?
Yeah, Fuck, I imagine trying that. It's a great lamp, that.
This would make it. This would be a fantastic stage play, Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be a good stage play. Christmas. That's sorted.
That's it.
This time next year, folks, get your tickets.
Yeah. It's for John Barrowman's Balls of Delights.
I think we've all seen that before.
I don't think there's anything new about that.
No, exactly. Cure the swift and small. Once again.
Oh, this is great as well, this stuff. You have it under your hand today. Mm.
That's lovely paintbox effects there, isn't it? Look at that.
That's fucking pentangle.
Creepy fuck off.
Pentagram or whatever it's called.
This is all great.
Occult nastiness. It's got a wee bit Talons triangle.
Well, we touch the Devil Rides Out.
And that says Confession.
It's Confession Dial.
Dial, yeah.
Except because it's Robert Stevens, it's fucking huge. Just because every night spews into it.
Throws in another decree nice eye and then fucks off to bed.
So Boxing Day.
When is
Boxing Day.
Yes.
Jack must always be right.
That's a Christmas film.
Yeah, Name of the Rose is definitely a Christmas film.
Name of the Rose is a Christmas film because it was on Christmas week.
Yeah.
And now when was the Name of the Rose?
86,
right. Yeah, because I remember being allowed to watch it. It was quite unusual, because it was on quite late, because obviously you see Christian Slater's wee pubes.
Was there a fear it would make you homosexual?
No, it's just obviously quite an it's a reasonably explicit sex scene in it.
Hmm.
I don't think they knew it was in it, but I got to watch that. It was really good. It's a great film.
It's a great movie.
But I see it as a Christmas film. This is what I was saying about films that aren't actually to do with Christmas.
No, yeah.
For example, I consider a Christmas film to be, because purely by accident, 2 years in a row, putting up the Christmas decorations in the house, in the Miller's house in Southside, because it was just whenever I could do it, and I was the only person that did it. For some reason, in the same day, 2 years in a row, was the Mario Lanza film, Seven Hills of Rome.
God.
And I don't know why it just happened to be on. They must have booked it in for 2 years in a row. Now I consider that to be a Christmas film.
Yeah, I can see that. I always consider Christmas films to be things like Hitchcock seasons as well, because you get them on BBC Two over Christmas time. And that was
and serials.
Dead of Night always feels like a Christmas film. Yeah, all those W. Somerset Maugham films that I think we talked about.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Have we talked about them in a previous one?
Trio and Quartet and all.
Brilliant, yeah. They were shown in the Christmas holidays of 92... into 93, because I was on my phone at university and I had the flat to myself.
Yeah, I remember that.
I remember watching them on Channel 4 in the mornings. They were great.
And they used to show... Channel 4 then started getting into their thing where they would start showing a Godzilla film every night.
Yeah.
At Christmas. Which is fine, and they're quite fun, Godzilla films, but not one a night.
No.
That's because the time you get into fucking... Time you get into... fucking Mothra and Rodan and all that. You're like, yeah, all right, mate.
And that's a classic thing for Christmas, of course, is the ghost stories for
Christmas. Yeah, where does that come from? I mean, I know it is, but is that a Victorian thing?
Well, yeah, I mean, I suppose so, with A Christmas Carol. Mm. But M.R. James used to write his ghost stories to read at Christmas time to young men in his rooms at Cambridge.
Yeah, but that's not a very wide broadcast.
No, but I think in terms of where it actually came from in broadcasting was that in the 1970s, Gordon Carroll, Joe Glenn, I can't remember his name. He's got three names. The director that did them.
Per-Jean Chilabella Melbourne.
Yeah, Tony Arthur. Yeah. I can't remember the guy's name, which is really quite annoying, because he's fantastic. And he did a lot of the ones. He did The Signalman, which is Dickens, but he also did about six or seven.
See, I wondered if it came from radio. Much earlier than that, in the sort of Valentine Dial kind of thing. I just wondered.
But I think just ghost stories and Christmas being linked.
But that's what I mean. I understand that they are linked, and I like that, and I like all that sort of thing. But I don't know where it comes from.
The Stone Tape was written for Christmas.
That was a Boxing Day. About 72, I think.
But they did. There was quite a run in the early 70s, wasn't there, of M.R. James adaptations?
Yeah, they
are really creepy. Lonely Hearts or something.
Yeah, Lost Hearts.
Yeah, it was horrible when the kid is playing that hurdy-gurdy thing.
Mm. Hurdy-gurdy is very creepy.
Yeah. Hurdy-gurdy is horrible.
And Stalls of Barchester, which has got Robert Hardy being killed by a ghostly cat.
Of course. So
that's great, isn't it?
So yeah. Boxing Day customs. What's the correct approach to Boxing Day?
Well, that's all gone by the by for us, I have to say, because we used to have a very definite plan for Boxing Day, which was when I was very young. we would do our go out on Christmas Day things and all that. My dad's not one for visiting family very much or whatever. It's fair enough if you knew my family. But Boxing Day, we would always go to my great-grand's house, not far from here. I've mentioned it before, in my Grand Harper. And she would sometimes come to us on Christmas Day, especially because she died when she was 92. And as she got older, you know, she would just come and stay with us. But when I was young, we would go to hers on Boxing Day, and that was the fun day.
Why?
Well, because it was just easy-ozy. It was much more easy-going. Christmas Day, because my parents were desperately aspirational, we would all be dressed up in wee outfits and we'd go out for swanky dinners and all that.
Yeah.
I never saw any films or telly or anything like on Christmas Day for years, because we were always out and all getting ready to go. But on Boxing Day, we would go to my great grand's, and it would be, she made a big dinner. She did a wee council house she had, and it was like she'd make the soup, and the pressure cooker would be going with the roast beef and the veg and all that. And she baked a bottle of white and red Lipiador, case of mixed Alpine ginger, boxes of chocolates, just fucking get your snouts in. And then after it, we'd get to play a game. You know, somebody would have got Trivial Pursuit or just a game. Mm-hmm. And my dad always hated playing games, still does.
Yeah.
Which is so, on Christmas Day, in the house, in his fiefdom, you'd say, can we play a game? And they're like, no, I'm not playing a game. No, I just watch the telly. On Boxing Day, we'd take him and we'd play a game, and he'd say, no, I don't really want to play my game. My Grand Harper would say, you're just playing a game. Hey! And we'd play. I only found out it was called charades in my teens. We'd play Give Us a Clue.
Ah, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But we used to see on the, on plays and things, and say, shall we play charades? What the fuck, charades? I always thought it was the same thing as Canasta, which I still don't know what Canasta is.
I don't know what that is either.
Craig!
Yeah.
Tell us about your Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve or Boxing Day? Boxing Day, I don't remember ever having any kind of great plan for Boxing Day when I was a kid. I think it was just play with your toys.
Yeah.
Eat lots of stuff that's left over, like wee cold chipolatas.
Mm-hmm.
These days, my great joy on Boxing Day.
Chipolata.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. Saying this that I don't sound a total wanker, is in the morning of Boxing Day, having a really, really long bath that lasts like a couple of hours, and listening to the radio while reading a book, and just thinking about everyone out at the sales and fighting their way through that. I've never, ever wanted to
Boxing
go to a
day
sale
sales?
On Boxing
Yeah, no,
day.
never gone to one tomorrow.
I can't stay in a bath for 2 hours anyway. Mm. But my dad does the sales.
Yeah, but I just love not doing them.
That just started
makes
about
me happy.
10 years ago or so, he just started obsessing about going into the sales on Boxing Day morning. I don't know why.
I can't imagine anything worse.
No, it's not. I don't like shopping at the best of times, which is why I dress like a scarecrow mostly, a big fat scarecrow a lot of the time. You're Boxing Day, Jack?
I go to the same shop as you, mate.
Well, I think our Boxing Day was sort of, you put all your presents out.
Oh, this is him going to drown everybody. Yeah. Mate.
Nice man. And so that's how that would be in more recent years.
Well, you're usually down in your medieval barn.
Yeah. And we'll go up to Malvern Hills and watch the racist Morris dancers.
Excellent.
Which is a lovely way.
Thereby encouraging them.
Yes, thereby encouraging.
Yeah. Yes. And you'll never, ever possess the Box of Delights.
Institutional racism. Yeah. I mean, they do lots of songs about whacking off dicks and all that sort of kind of thing. At least that's the impression that I get.
Oh, dear.
So,
speaking of which.
So another Christmas.
It made it run fiercer and faster into your face.
Yes, absolutely. Another Christmas custom. We haven't really discussed the listings magazines. Did you partake of a listings magazine in your house? Would you have bought both?
Yes.
Both, yeah.
Until would you leaving circle? One into the other.
Yeah.
Would you circle the programs?
Well, I would get them and immediately go to the films pages.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And look to see what the big films were. Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. Didn't really pay any attention to the New Year. Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, then Boxing Day. Then look at what were the film strand, the times, not seasons, but times. So you'd have your 11 o'clock, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, midweek, kids' film. Mm. Afternoon, something a bit more adventure-y, or cowboy
Yeah.
And then in the evening, a bigger film in the evening.
Yes.
Happy days.
I used to send straight to the montage pages in the Christmas listings magazines with the Noel sharing a cracker with Eddie Large.
Who's sharing a cracker
with Paul Daniels, who's sharing a cracker with Terry
Morgan. One giant cracker with loads of people on either side. Somebody in the middle holding up like that. Oh, Melvin
these
Hayes.
These days, and the you could Christmas picks. Have all loads and loads of those famous people around a dinner table in a prison hall.
That's true.
With them all sitting together like Rolf and Stuart Hall.
Really pissed me off about the Christmas listings. Christmas
listings. Paid under the waterfall ever again.
Free!
Christmas listing magazine, what I really hated was they would have their fucking holiday insert.
Yeah, that's the worst. Well, that was the Radio Times were particularly bad for that. The holiday supplement in the middle, which is like, yeah, it's Christmas, yes, holidays, fuck off. Yeah.
And that would actually happen literally on television at about 7 o'clock on Christmas night when the big film would be coming on Planet of the Apes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you'd have fucking adverts for holidays kicking off.
80 Mays.
Oh, yeah.
Did you buy more than one copy of the listings magazine? Because we know that famously Steve Williams of the TV Queen Parish.
One to use, one to keep.
No, they used to buy two copies of the listings mags for Christmas for one upstairs.
There's a certain logic about that.
That's right. So.
But the,
thing about folding one into the other?
No.
What's that?
Well, you'd open them both. You get to the page, say, Wednesday, 23rd of December, 1981, which is when I got a video.
Yeah,
and you'd open them both, and then you'd just move one into there, close that one over, and then close the other one over it, so that they were linked.
Somehow that fucking started early, didn't you?
Somehow that feels quite prissy.
Yeah, you have to believe your fucking anal.
It's quite prissy.
Setting
quite
it all
prissy.
Out. No, what we did was it was just folded.
My OCD-ness.
Yeah, it was just all folded back when you stayed. But the holiday supplement used to annoy me, but then remember the Radio Times. The first edition in the new year would always be holiday.
Yes.
With the start of the big holiday competition.
Yes, that's right.
Which my mum and dad used to get inordinately.
Sue Gregg, or what was that lady called on?
Sue Gregg, yeah. And Des Lynam eventually.
Des Lynam.
But originally, Cliff
Mitchell. High holiday fans.
And what was the music?
Yeah. It was Heart Song by Gordon Gilchrist.
Fantastic piece of music.
But it was that was to me that was almost the most depressing thing. Was the, especially if Christmas fell at a time where the double issue ran out quite soon after the festivities, so like just right into the start of January, and then suddenly it was all gone.
Yeah,
and you're back
just
to
back
they
always do like some highlights coming up in the air. Generally speaking,
man.
It was rubbish.
We are coming to the end of the Box of the Lights.
The Box of Lights.
Yep, there's your man who used to appear in. Eureka, is the chief constable.
Yeah,
what's his name?
I didn't spot him.
So. You'll see him in a second, chief constable. Nonsense boy, eat your bullseye.
So now we've got
Kay worried that he's being left as a wee tutty boy.
Mm. Yep.
And Patrick Troughton's been chained
Has been chained up in the vault, and he's in a dungeon that's saying rummage through my pockets.
Mm. And he's worried that the water sports are about to begin.
Yes, indeed.
Weird, isn't it?
It's huge. I can't lift
the
up.
The more things change, the more things stay the same.
Do you see any kind of strange parallel with his own life?
How did he die?
Very happily.
With reputation intact.
Yes, apparently.
That's how he died.
Is this a sac de magique that he's got here?
What?
A sac de magique.
A sac de magique.
I'm a tot, je suis un tot. He's a tot. Remember that?
Yeah, vaguely.
Tots
TV.
We're
the Tots of Tots TV. One, two, three.
They had a little sac de magique.
Any other particular memories of Christmas films, Craig?
Do I? Well, one thing I never liked was on Christmas Eve, which was always the longest day of the year, just dying to get to Christmas.
Mm.
And for quite a long time it struck me that the broadcasters would put on something like El Cid, Ben-Hur, Quo Vadis.
Is that like BBC Two?
I think both BBC and BBC One and ITV would show these. Now, they're all actually very good films that I really admire now.
Mm.
But when I was a kid, I really only wanted to see things with Peter Cushing in it, or Star Wars, which had Peter Cushing in it.
Mm.
And so they used to bore the tits off me, and it used to make that afternoon go longer and longer and longer. And I hated that.
What time of day would they be on?
They'd put them on about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They'd run until about six the next night.
What about things like the Val Doonican sort of shows?
Is Chris just tidying up behind us now?
I'm trying. I'm looking at my archive. Carry on.
He's looking at his archive.
Yeah, he's looking at his archive.
Diamond archive. But I actually think the Val Doonican shows kind of passed me by. I didn't ever have a strong recollection of watching that sort of stuff, or even Russell Harty's Christmas.
Yeah, I remember. Special. Used to watch things like that.
Yeah. We didn't really watch too much.
Well, I watched a lot of telly. I mean, a lot of telly.
Yeah.
I was trying to find the Christmas Radio Times that we're all in, apparently.
But
we'll find it and we'll put up some pictures of our listings, our various listings.
Oh, I see, yes.
Okay. Right, the water's
it's
coming
got Wallace
in
and Gromit on the front cover.
Does it now?
Mm.
That's impressive. Mm. Trundling towards the end of...
Yeah,
this is where it really goes fucking mental.
Really? You think so far No,
compared to what happens...
It's been gritty realism until now.
Well, wait, you see what happens. Master Peter, beg your pardon.
Master Peter.
We'll never get through that. What were you comes? That wasn't very difficult.
When did we stop calling
it's the
children master, mistress?
Well, when I was a kid, you still used to get birthday cards to Master, Christopher Downey.
And when our primary school teacher used to give us all our Christmas cards, in the Christmas post at the school. Yep. It would have Master.
The Christmas post at school.
Yeah, that was nice, wasn't it?
I'd forgotten about the Christmas post at school.
Yeah, this
Carol
is,
and the
Weezer.
Absolutely no fucking use
where do
whatsoever.
Where do we stand on Secret Santa?
This is harmless, it's fine. Oh, shut up, you fucking miserable.
I don't
bastard.
Go to Christmas dues at work. I don't do Secret Santa's. It's
not.
This is the guy
that
loves fucking Christmas.
I do love Christmas.
Yeah.
As long as it's on your terms, Craig.
Oh, right, yeah. And you're not like that at all, Chris.
No, I take part.
Get to
I chip in.
Take part.
Here we are. Here's where it goes. Batshit sane. Oh, shut up. There we go. Pinga pija!
Oh, that's quite good.
That's about... Yay, let's cheer about that.
He seems to have been able to do that with whether he hit the box or not.
Where was this all filled? That's good. That's good, that isn't it? Because I think shot that as well.
It must have been an absolute bastard to film.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's a bishop.
There's a bishop. Can get the bishop.
And
it's
the whole fucking
bishop.
Choir.
Mm-hmm. You sort of get a sense of that was kind of a one take.
Yeah.
Particularly this shot here from the boat. Here we go, look.
It's the bishop hanging about with one choir.
Steaming bishop. Just one choir boy left.
Yeah.
Happened to the rest of them. Stream, stream.
So obvious these jokes aren't really.
Oh, fuck you. Here's my secret Santa.
What
what
a salmon can do, a man can do, he says in a minute. Really?
That reminds me of that film The Edge. Of what man can do, another can do. Ah, I'm Anthony Hopkins.
And when you were young, how did you fill the week between Christmas and New Year?
Or mostly watching telly and eating chocolate.
Alcohol and sex.
Because a lot of the best stuff actually was sort of on telly in that period.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, that's when you would,
27th's a good day for telly.
Yeah, that's when you would have all your, like I say, your sort of Disney type film, yeah. You know, The Black Hole or something in the morning. In the afternoon, you'd have your top quality sort of either a Western or a maybe a sci-fi film if you were lucky, or and that's maybe when you get your not quite Quo Vadis, maybe the Pharaohs or something, a wee bit down market. Mm. It can't all suit you.
Do you know what was a good Christmas TV program? Party Games.
What?
The Yes Minister Christmas special.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great program.
It's got a very Christmassy feel to it as well.
Yeah, although it only really takes place at Christmas a wee bit at the start.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Mm. Woohoo, I'm not... Oh,
so at this point, he's kind of fucked.
Oh, he's great. Wait to see what happens to him. There's a good bit of water acting coming up here.
Bit of cocaine.
And he just jumps backwards like... Wah! And it's him as well.
Yeah.
No fucking about.
Yeah, you're right, it is.
Oh, this is good drowning acting.
Yeah.
What do you see?
Love that plane.
Look at this.
Do we touch a
Jeremy
Brett?
I should get a big actor to do this now.
He does, he is very Jeremy.
You get a big actor to do this now for a kids' programme.
Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely epic.
Wonder why he agreed to do this.
Gin.
Well, why wouldn't you agree to do it? Big kids programme? You know, prestige...
I suppose.
BBC series. They probably paid him a shed load of cash.
And that was gin that he was swimming about in. It's not really all on fire. It's the Windsor Castle.
I missed a chap from Fast Forward. Was it Nick Walton?
No. It's the big guy. He was in Eureka.
Oh, sorry. Yes, he did say Eureka. Fast Forward on the brain.
I think I said Fast Forward there.
Mm-hmm. No, he's on the brain. I think you're right.
Ah, there he is.
The big guy from Eureka.
Yep. We can see him. There he is.
Yeah.
Savage, isn't it? Is it Mike Savage or something like that? Oh, no. That's who I'm thinking. I'm not sure that is the big guy from Eureka. I think he just looks like the chap I'm thinking of.
No, he was in Eureka.
Was he?
I think so.
Alongside Bernard Holly and so on and so forth.
Well, he was in Eureka. Mm. Anyway.
That's a very political answer. Didn't tie you to anything.
He was in Eureka. You know, one way or the other, he was in Eureka.
Clive Doig ensemble players.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah, they've run out of snow.
Mm.
Yeah.
I like the way it's just all pinned on top of this fucking box there.
Yeah.
But this is where it goes like pure fucking full on fantasy. You know, like not even with a realistic setting.
Yes. Yeah.
But it does have, I have to say, if there's one, it's not really a sour note, but if there's one slightly offish note about all of this, it's the final shot, which is a wee bit annoying.
Well, because it effectively undermines the whole thing.
Well, yeah, which is annoying. You'd like to believe it just actually happened. Yes, why not? Why not?
Yeah.
Yes. You know.
Yeah, I agree with that. But that was always disappointing, though. Don't you think? Mm. Whenever any story ends with that.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't like that. It's like, can we not just actually have it happen?
Yeah. Well, I think you don't really get that anymore, do you? I think actually.
Yeah, they just.
Again, you wouldn't really get away with that anymore.
Well, no, I'm not sure that's true, because they do the. They did that in those dreadful Lion, Witch and Wardrobe films, you know, where they come back and, was it a dream, or was it?
Mm.
Or was it?
Or was it?
Something about
the
red hat.
What colour was it?
It was kind of a scarlet. Was it red, man?
Or was it?
Oh. Yeah. That was a nice glass of juice I just had there.
It does sort of feel a bit like improv at this point,
Mr. Robin,
in terms of the plot, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just sort of, you get the feeling that it's sort of killing, we had another few minutes to go.
He's just dying to get to his bed now. He's like, that's my scratcher. Jack was snoring last night. It's a fucking nightmare.
In our lovely shed.
Yeah. Roger was standing outside peering through the top floor.
When you were wearing your boxing gloves.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so fucking exciting watching this.
And this episode
was shown
about the 21st of December.
It was pretty close, wasn't it?
Yeah, it would have been a few days before Christmas.
Today, basically.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, it would have been, yes, the equivalent. Yeah. Yeah. You got your... Was it 1981 you got your...
VHS? Yeah.
It was 1924. We're way ahead of the curve. It was 1981, yes. 23rd of December.
And so Christmas
Which
Day...
Which is Wednesday this year as well.
Right, so Christmas Eve on the 8th, 1981 was... A what? Friday?
Thursday.
Sorry, Christmas Day.
Christmas Day was a Friday.
Christmas Day is a Friday. So 1982...
As it is this year.
It's a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
1983... Sunday. 1984, leap year.
No one died. 1985.
Leap year.
No
so one so leap year Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
So when this Christmas Day would have been Tuesday. It might even have been on Christmas Eve.
Mm, could have been.
I thought it was the 21st of December, is in my mind, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
You saw how long could maybe call it.
But something like this.
Need to check that out.
A series like this, though, when you got to the final episode and the end of it, then you knew it was Christmas.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because it's part of your sort of countdown.
Yeah.
But not countdown. So this is a beautiful... This is where it should have sort of finished, I think.
Mm.
Because they have the wonderful thing where they're walking on the candles and then the organ starts and the Christmas tree lights up. It's absolutely amazing. Mm. But they can't just leave it alone, man. That's a wee bit of a kicker at the end.
Caroline Louisa gets drunk and takes her top off. It's just fucking...
She just
streets
across with wee wolf faces on her.
Oh, nasty.
There's a shit in the box.
Is there a woman by there wearing a wolf pelt? She's riding a wolf. Oh, Caroline Louisa! It pulls it back a wee bit, so to speak, at the very, very end. Mm. Which is a wee bit better, but it should just have finished on this.
Mm. Do you think when they were making this, though, as part of the production meeting, they said, right, what are all the Christmassy things?
Oh, I'm sure they did.
And let's get every single Christmassy thing in here.
Come in your faithful.
We didn't sing that at my school.
No, Adeste Fidelis we sang.
Mm.
Oh. Yeah. Lighty Triumphantis. The same. But in Latin.
Why the fuck would you dream this bit if it's a dream? If you're a little lad. Why would you bother dream that bit?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. So there's all this and then it's... Yeah. What do you see?
Lovely with crane shot there.
Mm,
it
is beautiful.
A man in a cravat. Going, come on, darlings!
Oh, come let us ignore him.
Hey,
did you see that?
There you go. Hey. Oh, wait,
come let us ignore him.
Oh, let's ignore
it. Yeah, we used to sing that.
They'd be all singing their own comedy lyrics.
Yeah, that's what we'd sing.
Christ the Board and
it's
all that.
It's a good song.
He's very good at looking pleasantly surprised, isn't he, Kay?
Yeah. There he is, the bishop, looking grand.
Hiya!
Okay. The bishop mitre.
Thinking about his next job at Sunshine Desserts.
Yes.
Doesn't need to talk about the Virgin's womb.
Very good.
Very good. Look.
Very good.
Hashtag very good. Amazing.
Was
that Patrick's own hair and beard there?
It looks like it,
doesn't
it?
I think
the hair
and the beard certainly is, yeah.
Oh, look at his wee face.
Oh, you've worked hard, son.
Christ's
beauty. I remember seeing some photographs of Patrick Troughton at conventions in 1984.
Yeah. This is where it all goes wrong.
Hair.
There's no need for this.
The Christmas bells rung out.
Yeah.
And he flies off.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all a dream. I also don't like over the credits when it's the blue sky with the clouds. Should be something a wee bit more festive than that.
Yeah.
Should be snow or something. But I mean, they're minor quibbles.
Well, look at this. That's a lovely bit of box or something going on there.
And now
at
number 32 this
week.
Look
at that. There he is, like, on the train.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Well, it's okay. There's one little shot that sort of pulls it back.
There
a
is,
bit.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm
you have a bad dream, something like that.
What's it? If you didn't see the first episode, this
it would have made any sense.
Even less sense, isn't it?
Very comfy looking chairs then.
Yeah.
Right, so...
Sorry, Barry White's turned up.
There we are.
Oh, there we are.
Hey,
yeah,
see, that's
yeah.
something.
Mm-hmm.
But It's not an awful lot.
Where's Barney Dog? Yeah, there we are.
And that's that.
Not a speck of snow to be seen.
No, 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 there's some snow arrives.
Oh, yeah, there we are.
What were we watching there?
Box of Delights.
It was good, that, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't think we even introed it. I'm Chris.
I'm Jack.
I'm the Keymaster.
Well, I think.
Jason, oh, look, the bronze head was Nicholas Chagrin.
Who's that?
He, oh no, I'm thinking of Julian Chagrin. I wonder if they were related.
I think that's much to your chagrin. Yeah.
See, you, I don't that like wrong. That very much.
Yeah.
So it's not with a blue sky, is
well,
it?
Well, but you know what I mean? It's about, it's, but it's not very, what's it's blue behind the cloud. Yeah. Yeah, what's it meant to be signifying? No, Julian Chagrin used to appear in films and drama things. He was a mime and all that. But he was a good guy.
Good guy.
Good guy.
Not wank.
Not good guy.
So do we wish everyone a happy Christmas now?
All of those of you who have a talent for it, have a merry, merry Christmas.
Don't watch any long films on Christmas Eve.
Watch any films you like. Except El Cid. I agree with you on El Cid.
But do watch The Box of Delights.
Home Alone's quite good.
You went from El Cid to Home Alone. You think they should have defeated the Moors by putting paints, yeah, but tins of paint on string.
It would be a lot more fucking.
It'd have been better than putting Charlton Heston's body on a horse.
Yeah, shit. Yeah.
So yeah, there we are. The superlative Box
Fantastic.
Of Delights.
I think you all enjoyed that.
Absolutely. And enjoy your Christmas, everybody, yes. And we'll see you at some point in the new year with another adventure with Chris.
With Craig.
And with Jack.
And a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.